Welcome to Ed Research Matters, the University of Chicago Consortium on Chicago School Research's exclusive podcast series. I'm Jessica Puller, the communications specialist at UChicago CCSR, and I'm here today with Eliza Moeller. Eliza is the lead qualitative researcher for the post-secondary project here at UChicago CCSR. She's also one of the authors of a recent study on senior year in Chicago public schools. For this report, UChicago CCSR researchers look closely at the senior year experiences of thousands of students in Chicago public schools. They found that while some seniors take advanced coursework, such as AP classes or fourth-year math, the majority of CPS seniors have schedules that are dominated by makeup courses, electives, and vocational coursework. The students themselves describe senior year as unchallenging and easier than previous years. Today, Eliza will discuss some of the findings of the report and the implications that they may have for policy and for practice. Eliza, thanks for being here.
Hello.
So how did you come to focus on senior year?
It actually wasn't our initial intent to study senior year specifically, but there were a few things that prompted us to look at that as an individual research question. The first was that we were out in schools interviewing students as a part of a study on the transition to college, and we found when these students reached senior year, they seemed to not be working very hard. There was a lot of lack of engagement and not a whole lot of work happening, and they seemed pretty dissatisfied with their senior year experience.
Mm-hmm.
Also, senior year in the Chicago public schools is a little bit distinctive in that our graduation requirements in CPS tend to dictate a pretty tight structure in terms of course taking for the first 3 years of high school, but then a lot of variation in senior year, and we thought that variation was going to be important to look at.
So what did you hope to learn?
We wanted to learn a few things. First, we wanted to see if we could quantify the phenomenon that we thought we were seeing in our qualitative sample.
Right.
And then we needed to ask if what we thought we were seeing was indeed happening throughout the district, is it a problem? Is it really a problem that students take really different courses in senior year? And finally, we wanted to go back and carefully analyze those student interviews to try to really understand what students were experiencing in senior year.
And how'd you go about studying this?
There are a few different analyses in this report. The first thing we did was study transcripts of CPS graduates to try to look for course-taking patterns in senior year. And for that, we analyzed over 50,000 transcript records of CPS graduates from the classes of 2003 to 2009.
And then?
The next thing we did was to look for possible impacts of senior year course-taking on college enrollment and persistence. This is a hard thing to study because we would expect that students who actively sign up for AP or for other kinds of advanced courses are probably different from the students who choose not to enroll in those courses. We might expect that they're more motivated, they're already more college-oriented, they have better support, etc. So we used some advanced statistical methods to try to make sure we were measuring the effects of taking an AP course rather than just the effects of being the type of student who would sign up for an AP course. We then did an in-depth analysis of the interviews we did with 105 students who participated in our longitudinal study of the transition to college. For anyone who's familiar with our potholes report, these are the same students that are profiled there, but in this case, we're talking to them and recording information about their senior year courses rather than their college planning.
And what did you find?
We found that senior year serves different groups of students differently. And the way we think about this is by thinking about three different groups of CPS graduates according to their academic achievement.
Mm-hmm.
The top group is students who have access to very selective colleges. So that would be colleges like the University of Chicago or Northwestern. It's only about 6% of the district, so it's a small group, but we find that senior year seems to be serving those students fine. They are, by and large, taking lots of advanced courses, AP, fourth-year math. They're taking lots of core courses, and their course-taking looks pretty much the same as the top 10% of graduates nationwide. The second group of students is about 50% of our CPS graduates, and it includes students with access to selective colleges like DePaul and Loyola, as well as students with access to somewhat selective colleges like UIC, Southern, Northern. We find with this group that there is a great deal of variation in the kinds of courses that they are taking. Some are taking a lot of advanced courses in an academically focused senior year, but some are also taking what we would call an elective-heavy or vocationally focused senior year schedule. Mm-hmm. We also found that similar students are far more likely to take advanced coursework at some high schools than others. So if we look at similar students across high schools, for example, that group of students with access to somewhat selective colleges, we found that their rates of participation in AP coursework are as low as 10% at some high schools and as high as 90% at others. This variation, as well as some other things, contributes to some significant racial and ethnic gaps in course taking across the district. For example, 34% of African American graduates took a fourth year of math, compared to 68% of Asian American students. This variation, we found, does matter for students' college enrollment. In some cases, students who take AP or other advanced courses are more likely to get into better colleges that will make it more likely for them to graduate.
You mentioned a third group of students who entered senior year with very weak academic records. What exactly happened to them?
So this third group of students is also nearly half of our graduates in CPS. These are students with extremely limited access to college, in most cases probably only able to access the two-year college system. We did a special analysis of an earlier cohort of these students so that we could also link their academic records to employment records. And what we found was pretty shocking and pretty upsetting. We found that for these students, the most common outcome in the year after graduation was that they were neither working nor in college. Those who did enroll in college, in any kind of college, were extremely unlikely to persist past the first year, and those who were employed were substantially underemployed. It's also important to note that this data reflects pre-recession outcomes, and national data post-recession would suggest that these prospects are even worse for this group of students currently. This is a significant challenge, we think, not only to CPS, but also to the city of Chicago, to the state of Illinois, and we think for our nation.
Clearly, the challenges facing these students require a robust local and national response. But at the other end of the spectrum, we have another group of students who also have been the subject of considerable local and national attention. These are the students with very strong academic qualifications for college. Now, for these students, advanced placement coursework has sort of become the default policy response for creating a rigorous senior year experience. What does this report tell us about the effectiveness of this strategy?
So the local context for this question is that we know that the district has undergone a massive expansion of AP coursework across the system. But we also know that AP pass rates are fairly low. We were wondering if there were other benefits to taking an AP course outside of whether or not you get a high score on that final exam. And we found that there are benefits to taking AP for some students, and the benefits are on college enrollment. Among students with access to somewhat selective colleges, those who take at least one AP course are more likely to enroll in a four-year college.
Interesting.
Among those with access to a selective college, those who take two or more AP courses are more likely to enroll in a selective college. So these are effects on college enrollment. However, we find that taking AP or other kinds of advanced courses does not appear to have any effect on college persistence. And this finding is a little bit in contrast to what we saw about AP in our qualitative work. In our interviews with students, we found that students described AP courses as distinctively challenging in what was otherwise often a very unchallenging year. Students especially valued the extent to which they believed their AP teachers were holding them to higher standards around things like the quality of their written work.
And how is this different from what you found about the International Baccalaureate Program, or the IB program, as some people call it?
Throughout the course of our research studies, we have found some different and more robust effects of the IB program.
Such as?
Qualitatively, and this is described in this report, we found that seniors in IB had a very different academic experience. They described senior year, by and large, as extremely challenging. Mm-hmm. Quantitatively, in a previous report, we used a similar analysis to what we used here to look for impacts of IB program participation on college enrollment and persistence. And in that report, we did find that students in the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program were more likely to enroll in college, more likely to enroll in a selective college, and importantly, more likely to persist for 2 years once enrolled. I think we would expect that these two strategies would have different results. AP in Chicago is really about adding individual classes to a student's schedule, whereas the International Baccalaureate program, as it's typically enacted in schools, is a 4-year full-day academic experience.
The report explains that very few students are taking what you call an academically focused senior year, and that actually the most common senior year is elective-heavy. What's so bad about taking lots of electives?
Ostensibly nothing. There is no reason that electives can't capitalize on student and teacher interest and push students to college-ready skills. Students are taking classes like African American history, Latin American history, sociology, economics. There's no reason why these can't be great classes in a senior year schedule. We worry about electives for two reasons. First, if students are taking a great number of electives in senior year, they might end up crowding out or displacing other important courses that students might need to take, like AP, like fourth-year math, like more core courses.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we found that in practice, senior year was a dismally unchallenging experience for students that we interviewed, and electives were a great contributor to this problem. Students described class after class of these electives in which virtually nothing was happening. No work was required. Student interest was extremely low. Nothing seemed to be happening, which was often really disappointing to students who signed up for the classes because they were excited about the subject matter.
Given all the variation and inequity in course taking that you're describing, it might seem that the policy response should be to mandate a universal course of study in senior year. Is that the right answer?
I don't think that this research study provides a definitive answer to that question, but I think as researchers, we can help people think about how that question would be answered.
Mm-hmm.
There's precedence, it's important to note, for changing course requirements. CCSR did a study of the College Prep for All graduation requirements and found that when the district moved to those graduation requirements, we did indeed have large changes in students' credit accumulation. But we also found that there did not seem to be an impact on academic achievement or college outcomes. So we know that changes in credit accumulation don't necessarily have the deeper impacts on learning that we would hope for. Also, we think that this variation in course taking in senior year is symptomatic of a deeper problem. We have a lack of clarity around what it means to be college ready and how we can help more students reach that goal. And changing students' course schedules won't necessarily fix that deeper problem of defining and operationalizing college readiness.
So senior year seems like a sort of narrow topic. What are the broader implications of this report, in your opinion?
We think this research has a few implications that go beyond senior year.
Mm-hmm.
First, the challenges we've raised around low-achieving high school graduates are really important for us to be working on as a city. And it's important to note that the idea of having low-achieving high school graduates, those students have always been there. There have always been low-achieving high school graduates. But our economy no longer supports paths to viable employment for that group of students. So that's something that we think is really important to address. Also, we think this challenge of college readiness that we're raising in the report as a result of the research on senior year is really important to look at. What would a college-ready CPS graduate look like? What are the sets of skills and competencies that we would expect that student to have? If we can define that, we can think about the senior year experiences as well as the experiences across 4 years of high school that would help that student get there. And we can also begin the equally hard work of determining whether and how we should be differentiating these goals and expectations according to students' individual needs and goals. The move to Common Core state standards could be an important opportunity to reconceptualize high school in this way, but it will also place a tremendous demand on teachers and school leaders to change their practice, and those people will need support. We shouldn't expect that this shift should happen automatically with the adoption of this or any other reform strategy.
Well, then we're definitely looking forward to seeing how CPS and other districts use this information to problem solve around getting seniors and high school students in general to work to their potential. Thank you so much for joining us today, Eliza.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about this important topic, and thanks for listening.
Thank you all for joining us. I'm Jessica Puller, and this has been Ed Research Matters, the University of Chicago Consortium on Chicago School Research's exclusive podcast series.